Right, she's muted on the intro, so we got to start again. For fuck's sake.
We could have dubbed something in, like I could have just randomly said stuff like, "Hey, you and it's Cully, how you doing?"
Yes. Yeah, do that instead.
I'm fine, mother.
Hello, it's Cully.
Oh my God, you got
what you talking about, mother?
What? Golden Girls? What are you talking about? Have a laugh, yeah?
Who does the best Mr... Did anyone do a really good Mr. T impression? Because that would have been f***ing awesome dubbed over the top of Kelly.
Hey, ain't gonna play.
Course I am, fool!
I pity the fool.
Oh, Chris hey! Ashley gets the job.
There we go.
Chris there Ashley is. Gets the job. Where's your chains, man? Where's your chains?
Ah, they're upstairs.
Short of Mr. T, yeah.
When they say move the chains on American football, I always think of Mr. T. I don't know why. Jesus Christ!
What the hell was that?
I'd say bless you. Jeff. I'd say bless you, Jeff, but it'd make cool difference with the force that you got out of that, mate.
If anyone finds my spleen, just hold on to it. I'll get it from you later.
Is that what just hit the window?
Oh yeah. Days. Yeah.
It's the big show, and Jeff Gamet has just sneezed up a lung.
Exploded. I see.
Hello, and welcome to the Week in Tech. Is it rum and coke? No, it isn't. Not after last time. I need to start with an apology. Profuse apology as well, because I recorded the show, I started recording the show slightly drunk and ended up finishing the recording very drunk the last time we had it. So I do apologise. Jack, the last time's show was brought to you by Jack Daniels, not me. And I also want to apologise for my crap editing, which was done sober, as it happens, where I left in several expletives, and I also took half of the show. In my defence, we did have kind of like six restarts of Wirecast. So I had to restart the show several times, and I put one of the restarts at the end, and we ended up with a 3-hour, 30-minute show, which wasn't. It was only 2 hours, which I apologise for that as well. As I kind of made a bit of a horrific screw-up of the last show, which apparently, when I said I've left a few fuffs in, everyone raced to download it. So
there you go.
Before I took it down. So I did replace the video one, but I didn't replace the audio one. So I do apologise.
F-bomb, Easter egg, potato, potato.
Doc, who was on that show, has chipped in the chat room. Was that different from any other show? Well, it's different from this one because I'm not drunk this week. I've been drinking Coke, just Coke. So if anyone was offended by the expletives, ah, well. Do apologise. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, top panel, top panel, top left, Lee Garrett. Now, we've already done this once, but we're going to have to do it again, mate. You've got to show us your Star Wars Stormtrooper onesie.
Work it, baby.
Do the onesie? Hang on, let me just put my bottom back on then.
With codpiece. It's right. Not a onesie if you've got to put
there
the bottom back
on. There is my Star Wars Stormtrooper. Do you want me to do a codpiece wiggle?
No, oh, no, yeah. No.
Yes, give us the wiggle.
It can be done.
It's
me fresh out of dollars.
Lee Magic Pants.
Kelly fresh out of dollars.
I love it. I'm giving it the geek. I'm getting my geek on.
It's a Star Wars onesie with wood.
With these now.
Where do we buy that, mate? Where do we buy that?
And do that? I don't know. My daughter got it for me for Christmas, so I'll have to check with Sophie.
She's awesome. She's awesome. Next to him, awesome. Jeff Gamet. Without a lung.
Yeah, well, you know, it'll show up somewhere. It always does. Eventually, there'll be like a little knock at the door. I'll open up the door, and here's this lung outside waiting for me, and put it back in, and it's all good.
What's this stuck to the TV, says Angela.
But I have to say, since the non-edited version of last week's show is out there,
yeah,
I never really say naughty words. Everyone made me do it.
Yeah, I think we all chipped in with the swearing a little bit that week, and I chipped in with the lack of editing, so there you go, makes us even. Sophie wins Christmas gift of the year, says Doc. Totally agree. Next to him, it's the unmuted Kelly G.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted by Boba Fett onesies.
Oh, really? Is that,
yeah, the R2-D2 one is only sort of cute, but oh my god, Boba Fett.
As it's a bounty hunter, that means there's a price on the head.
Oh, no.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there? Ooh. There we go.
Very nice.
Kelly doesn't give a shit about being on the show anymore because she's now obsessed with Star Wars onesies.
Well, I was always obsessed with Star Wars. It's just that now I've discovered these onesies and they're awesome.
Do they do an Ewok one for the weekend?
Is that a short joke?
I don't know. Maybe. You're the only short one here.
Maybe. Have you seen an Ewok? Yeah.
No, but I've seen you and you're short. See, she can't get me because it's not sexist.
No, it's not true. It's just that I'm wondering if you remember that there will come a point in the future once again when I can reach you and that last time I beat you with a laptop stand.
Yeah, but it didn't hurt because you haven't got the power, woman.
Oh, your kneecaps have never been the same. Admit it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. No slamming the short, folks, says Coast Girl Brom. There we go. Righty boy, how the devil are you?
Hello, mate, how are you?
Yeah, excellent, mate. So we were talking about your laptop cover.
Yeah, so I saw your book, so you've got this beautiful laptop cover with our little caricatures and all the BTN logos on the back, and I thought, go have one of them. And you were kind enough to... send me one that I can send off to, well, it was Jelliskins, and now they're renamed, haven't they?
They're Nuargo Vargo.
Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
So it's got the sticker bomb for all of the, if you want one of these, all you got to do is get Len Peralta through our webpage to draw your caricature, and I will send you one of the artwork for one of these so you can get your own printed, and you can have your own sticker bomb with this on it, with your caricature here that you pay for. It's $100. Len will draw your caricature. You'll get this artwork. You'll get a BTN All Access Pass, and you'll get your own banner on the website with whatever you want on it. Batwench has already done it. I know Andy Vaughan is tempted, but Batwench has already done it, and she picked her podcast dream team on there. And if she wants one of these, I'll gladly do one of these for a MacBook. There you go. But that's got the cutout in it as well. You can do it with or without the cutout.
Ewan, this is a deeply important question. Is there an iPad option for this situation?
Yes.
Name your price, man.
Well, no, I mean, we've had your caricature done, so you're all right. I'll do the artwork. It's not a problem. But I'll just send you a piece of artwork, and you can do whatever you want with it. You just tell it where to center on the Jelliskins Nuvargo, whatever it is. Just type in jelliskins.com, and it'll take you to the right place. So.
And they were very helpful, weren't they?
Well, they're a bit pricey at times. If you buy the UK, go to the UK site because you pay as much as if you paid for an express import on it, and it doesn't arrive any quicker because it just comes from the States. Just when you buy one, make sure you put snail mail via USPS. It doesn't get here that much slower, and you don't pay any import tax on it. Whereas if you have the UPS delivery, you end up paying $15 for their admin shit charge, and then you end up paying for the tax import fee, which is stupid as well. It's like 10 quid on a $35 skin. So there you go.
I do want to point out, though, Jelliskins are whatever name they're answering to these days. It's a solid product.
Oh, it is. It's great.
I've had them and I love them, and they're nice and thick so that it feels like you've got something, you know, that you're applying that's really nice. They've got this sort of channel in them so that you don't end up getting bubbles, and you can peel it off and it's a piece of cake. I wholeheartedly recommend them. If you're looking for something that's just for the back of a device, you know, you don't necessarily need a case for the thing. That's totally the way to go.
I had four goes at getting the Apple logo lined up on that one because I got the cutout, and even with four goes, I still managed to have another go, and it's still stuck solid. You're not going to get it off.
Yeah.
You get more than one chance with them, which is nice. Last but by no means least, it's Big Chris Ashley.
I was starting to wonder if I was still here. Hey, woman. Woman.
You haven't said much, mate, to be fair.
Since your old look man ain't you got and no I think heart. He's about to, maybe he's like about to see a real pools. Man. What up, people? What it do?
It's all right, dude. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Happy to be here. Happy to help out. Hang out with my peeps.
Excellent. I just want to swap weird greetings with Chris. Like, that should just be a whole show. What to do? What's crack-a-lackin'? Tell me something good, yo.
Don't feed me lines like Kelly's going to start the weird show for us.
I think people would watch the crap out of that.
Hot news. We might be having an astronomy show. Might.
Oh, really? Sweet.
Yeah, we might be having an astronomy show, and we're going to have a mixture of people that are beyond amateur and
that's awesome.
And strict amateurs.
You have any stars on that?
There won't be any stars now. Yeah, very good. Badumptish. Thank you very much.
Veal and try your waitress.
Awesome.
Ewan totally rocks. Okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Beth.
Is that standalone?
Sure.
Right. The Week in Tech. Lee Garrett starts off. What's your story? Morning Glory.
Oh, I was supposed to bring a story, wasn't I?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's been so long. Only joking.
He hasn't been here for 3 weeks. He's forgotten the format.
Right.
I don't know. There's an awful lot of news in that Stormtrooper Wednesday, isn't there?
The subscription model and the fact that...
Lee.
Yeah?
Do me a favour. Can you just open your preferences in Skype and make sure you've got automatically adjust volume switched off?
Okie doke.
Because I've gone through all of mine this week and checked that they're off. And we've had a few people talking over each other in the last couple of weeks, so it'll be the Astro Show, Batwinch.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah, okay, mate. Make sure it's off. Go ahead. Your story is
okay. I'm going to talk about YouTube and the fact that YouTube are going to be adopting a subscription model very, very soon.
Well, that's everyone else's story gone then.
Sorry, second.
That's everyone else's story gone then.
Yeah, well, I figured I'd get in first, so I'm quite pleased that I'm there. It was the only one I had time to do on the way home from work. No, in all seriousness, I love subscriptions because I've got Netflix, I've got Spotify, I've got Office 365, and I was looking at Adobe, and all of those work for me because they really do fill a purpose in my life, and they're something that I really, really need. YouTube subscription model, I see the word YouTube as a verb, almost the same as Google. You know, if I need to go and find something, I will Google it. If I want to find a video, I will YouTube it. And it's probably the same as most other people. Why do I need to have a subscription model for YouTube just to cut out a few of those adverts? As an end user, I personally don't think it's something that I'm going to make the use of. YouTube are obviously going to be raking in an awful lot of profit from this subscription model because I think they're taking 45% of the subscriptions and then there's 55% which is pooled amongst all of the remainder of the channels that decide to opt in for this particular subscription model. Those that don't want to opt in, they will have to set all of their videos to private, which means they're not going to get any income from them at all. I just want to ask everybody else what they think about the fact that YouTube are going down this road and if they're going to oversell themselves and maybe this is not the business model that they need.
So help me understand real quick. So the subscription that they're setting up are for content creators,
yeah.
So people can subscribe to them and then make money?
Yeah. So anyone that's got a channel will have received an email over the course of the last couple of days saying if you wish to join and you wish to be able to have adverts removed from yours and you'll join the subscription model, then fantastic, sign up. If you don't, then you will be ejected from the, or you will not opt into the system and you will therefore not receive any royalties and any income. So the big cats will get bigger, from my opinion, and the medium to smaller ones, yeah, good luck.
They'll disappear.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so they're basically strong-arming people into it. Otherwise, you're not going to make any money anymore off the ads. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, now, how many end users do you think feel that there is a need in their life to have a subscription to YouTube? I mean, the only benefit I can see is that you can download YouTube videos offline to your mobile device. There's no guarantee as to what the price is going to be yet, but they're saying it's going to be around the $10 mark per month, which is pretty much the standard for everything else, isn't it? I personally don't see the benefit. I'm perfectly happy to sit there and watch an advert for 5 seconds and then skip when I need to go and find something. I'm not on YouTube often.
There's an awful lot more.
Just curious to see what everybody else thinks about it.
There's an awful lot more are doing 30-second adverts or worse. And there's a couple that I've come to where the actual content is only like 45 seconds. and they want me to watch a minute and a half advert before I get to it. You can stuff right off. I'm not interested in the content.
And then you have all the pop-up ads that keep showing up all over the video, and it's it's like a stupid video game just trying to clear out enough of the other content to see what you wanted to watch. YouTube's so horribly distracting. I can't hardly watch anything there because there's all this other crap that's happening that's distracting me from seeing what I went there for.
Here's the big problem that I see with it, aside from the annoyance of forcing people into this, but you know, YouTube is responsible for a lot of superstars being broken now. Okay, so they put their videos out and they get discovered, and you know, I, if I'm not mistaken, Bieber was one of them. They came up that way. And if they come, you know, with this model, they could potentially break that what's going on. And, you know, a lot of folks in music love what's going on because they're starting to be able to have a bit more independence away from the majors so that they don't have to sign. And, if this comes to fruition and it comes out, and I think these are the guys that really need to step up and say, whoa, what are you doing? Because if they have to post everything as private, how are they going to get discovered anymore? And that's one of the best benefits of YouTube, is the discoverability of new content.
So you're saying that if they had introduced this 5 years ago, we wouldn't have Justin Bieber? It's all good,
Jesus,
isn't it?
Christ.
It's a little too late, right?
Very, very good point, because I'll withdraw my last remark. Absolutely.
Now, for the record, Canada has repeatedly apologized for Justin Bieber.
Okay.
I have no beef with the young man. Let the man live. He's doing him.
Yeah, but it's the way he
But
lives.
I'll say this. They're still world star hip hop. World star! So, I'm happy.
I mean, the interesting thing is that the email from YouTube starts off, we need to give fans choice. But the way you've just described it, Lee, there is no choice. And I didn't take the same away from it as you did, but then I'm the dyslexic one. So is there a choice or isn't there a choice?
Well, essentially, from what I can see from the articles that I've read and going through that email, the choice is that users don't want to sit there and go through advertisements. And so your choice is you can pay, and you can pay $10 a month or whatever the price is going to be. And and you don't have to sit through those ads.
But that's
There's talk that there may be some lower price subscriptions for specific categories. So, for example, there could be a music section in YouTube that, you know, you only pay maybe $5 a month for, or something along those lines. So they may be tiering it and have, like, children's programming as well. I think there's an invite-only beta for something called Music Key or something at the moment, I believe. I don't know if anybody knows anything about that, but that's the current model for the all-access subscription that's out there at the minute. Apparently that's going to be $8 a month when that one comes out of beta. But yeah, it's 45% of all advertising revenue generated by the channel is going to be going to YouTube, and then all of the revenues will be pooled, with all of the partners receiving 55% of the total. So individual partners, their cuts will be apportioned based on how much time their viewers spend watching their channels. So medium-sized channels may not even earn any meaningful revenue from the subscription if they're using that model.
Okay. Bronwyn's saying that she's going to continue using Adblock, and that means it's a win-win for her. She doesn't have to pay and she won't get any ads. Give us a link for Adblock then, Bronwyn, because I think
we'll
join in with you.
I mean, if they do it as we would expect something like this to happen, where you pay a subscription, you see no ads, and then if you don't pay a subscription, you watch ads for content creators' material, then I don't have a problem with that. You know, Google's a publicly traded company, have to find new sources of revenue. I don't have no beef with
but
that. But if they're actually forcing people into it, and you know, and then your content won't be as discoverable as it is today, then to me, that's a pretty crappy thing to do.
But it's not stopping people from putting videos up for open consumption and use without adverts, isn't it? You can still be a creator. You can still get your video out there, and you can still go viral. It's not stopping that, from what I've understood.
Okay, good.
So is it that if you don't subscribe to this new service, you don't make any money at all from any revenue on YouTube? Is that
a choice? What they're saying is all your videos will be set to private, which means nobody will not come up in a search. Nobody will be able to find them. So
yeah, you are.
That doesn't seem like much of a choice.
To participate in the subscription offering. If you don't participate in the subscription offering, every video will be set to private.
Yeah. So yeah. just an example. Obviously, I've been working with you, and this week we've got a BTN Live YouTube again. Mm-hmm. Have we had that video, that email, Ewan?
Yeah, we
can
have.
Can we then, if we publish anything on our YouTube channel, if we don't opt in, we can't, you know, obviously we don't make any money now, but we can't make any money in the future unless we opt in.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, that is quite harsh then.
But the thing is, we don't, as far as I understand, it's only if you've elected for the content to receive advertising revenue. If the content is ad-free anyway, it won't matter.
Yeah, that's different.
And
yeah.
Also,
if you choose to monetize it in the first place,
the email comes and says your fans want choices. It's not about you having a choice; it's about your fans having a choice. So,
okay,
people can choose to have the revenue-supported or the non-revenue-supported model.
Mm.
So,
that's harsh.
But if they're a subscriber, they won't see any of your videos if you're display ads by choice of preference, and if you've got advertising. Anyone that's that and you haven't opted in to the scheme, then people who have paid for the subscription won't see your videos at all.
But then mm-hmm. won't people just move away from YouTube then?
No.
Because that's how they built their market on having readily available content.
There's two, you know. There's 2 billion uploads. 2 billion uploads
per It's the second largest search engine in the world.
Per day.
Mm.
And there are 2 billion views per minute on YouTube.
That's crazy.
It is mad. I mean, like I said earlier, Google is a verb. YouTube is a verb. You associate YouTube with, I'm going to go and YouTube that video, or I'm going to go and Google such and such. You know, it's ingrained in us now. Now that it's there and the claws are in, they can probably afford to do this. Because what are you going to do? You're going to move away.
There you go. There's the point. If you've got an advertising model, whichever one you choose, and your content distribution is going at 2 billion views per minute worldwide, you don't give a shit. You do, but yeah. You don't give a shit about which one you choose, because whichever one you choose, you're going to continue to make money hand over fist.
Mm-hmm.
So it's irrelevant to them. They're happy either way. And this is probably an easier one to manage by half and track. The amount of data crunching that must go on to work out revenues, and then the accounts that go behind those in order to pay those revenues must be absolutely mind-blowingly difficult. Dot Rock says he makes enough money out of it anyway, and he doesn't give a shit. There we go.
That must be nice.
Well, there you go.
As a trainer, I can charge upscales going to make more dollars, human. I'm happy with
you. You know who should start a YouTube rival is Netflix.
Oh.
Go on. Tell us more.
That would be interesting.
I'm listening.
Well, the reason why I'm saying that is because Netflix is already competing on the entertainment front as far as video content. I've been doing that. They already got people subscribers out the wazoo. But this clearly is in response to how well Netflix is doing as far as creating original content. And I mean, you got Amazon creating original content, CBS, everybody else are trying to create paid subscription services for their content. You see a lot more people cutting the cord and heading down this path. So if Netflix wanted to take advantage of this, they could probably come up with their own video content site and just say upload it. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the old YouTube used to be, you know, and then, yeah, as you get, you know, super popular content creators, that stuff could then transition into a Netflix show or a Netflix backing for a show. They're kind of in a position to do that. I'm not saying they ever would, but that would be awesome if they did that. I think that would be pretty cool for them.
That'd be super duper cool.
Yeah. But it's funny you say that, because a lot of indie content that used to be on YouTube that is showing up on Netflix, like documentaries, things like Video Game High School and The Guild are all showing up on Netflix now. So obviously a lot of content that was on YouTube and was getting a lot of this audience on YouTube is now showing up on Netflix. And maybe they're going around buying that up anyway.
Yeah, because a lot of those documentaries now are going straight to Netflix. You're right.
Yeah.
And they're continue. I mean, some of their original content is fantastic.
Mm.
You know, Marco Polo,
Cheers.
Lilyhammer.
And the watch model.
Oh, Lilyhammer.
But the watch model's the key, isn't it? It's all there. Go watch it when you want.
Right. Yeah. And they're already in so many different houses. They already have a website. They already have the servers. They're already paying the cable companies for extra bandwidth. Create a site, let people upload to you.
There is a certain negative though to Netflix, and we've noticed it this time with House of Cards, because we've sat down and we've bludgeoned House of Cards in under 3 evenings. We've gone through all of them, and then we've sat there going, another year now. And it's just, you've got a year to wait. And it is a year because you've watched them all in 3 days. It's 362 days before you're going to get the next episode of
At least,
of
yeah.
Cards. Yeah. So,
but when they piecemeal it out week by week, you're sitting there like, for me, like there's a show that I can't control how fast I get the content. I will literally sometimes not even watch for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can build up just in case there's some kind of cliffhanger. I don't have to wait another week to see the results of that. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying, and mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense. But there's also the opposite effect of that, too. And that's why Netflix gives you the option, you know, watch some of it.
We've done it with The Blacklist as well. And we sat and watched The Blacklist, and then we got to that situation where it's like, okay, let's build up a few. And yep. we waited and waited and waited, and then we tried to download them, and Sky had they're on a 4-week relay, so we'd missed one of them.
Oh.
And then it was like, you're kidding me. So I had to go and steal the one episode 5, that we hadn't got, so that we could then get back in and watch it, upset me quite badly.
And that's exactly one of the shows I do that on, The Blacklist. Yep. Like, if I have episode left, I won't watch it.
But it's just annoying because I didn't want to be the bad guy. I didn't want to go and steal episode 5. I wanted to do it the proper route. And with Homeland, yeah, and
this is where it's so clear studios do not get how this model works, because they make it so difficult for us to be honest, and they push people that otherwise would be happy to pay for content into stealing it because it's the only way they can get it. And that's stupid.
Because you guys aren't going to wait until right before season 2 comes out when they put out the season 1 DVD just so you can watch that one episode. Like, you're not going to do that.
Right.
And that's the thing that they don't understand. I keep calling it the Nintendo model. Nintendo thinks that if I want to play a game while I'm on the go, I need to buy a DS, BBQ, XL, whatever, and I'm not going to. So rather than get some money from me to play it on my iPhone, they get no money from me at all because they think I need to spend $100. And the difference to me between $5 and $100 is enough that I'm never paying them for that. And it's exactly the same way with, you know, oh, well, we're going to sell you the season on DVD, you know, yeah, later and not now. And I am not interested in that. Like, I'm watching it now. Important stuff is happening. If you want to keep me as a viewer, why can't I watch them? It's really frustrating.
But does anyone think that the Netflix model is kind of influencing YouTube's decision here? Going back to the story, because YouTube are looking at Netflix going, well, you know, there's shed loads of stuff out. There's loads of income that's coming in for them. They're putting all the content up in one go. There's tons of stuff they can do with it. You know, and putting it in context, they charge $6 a month and they're paying Kevin Spacey $500,000 an episode for House of Cards. There must be some money in this.
Well, it's just the thing. It's just like a disposable amount of income. Because I think YouTube already running a music thing with Vevo, aren't they? If you want Vevo videos at the moment, you don't get adverts. So they've already trialed it with like some of their content. They're probably going, actually, people are paying for this. This works. And it's the same thing like with Spotify. You know, you get it free with ads and you pay for it without ads. And a certain amount of people will pay for it without adverts. So they're probably going, actually, it's worth giving it a go because they're going to make some sort of income.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. I think it's more following the Spotify model than it is the Netflix one, because if you look at the particulars, you're able to you're going to be able to download videos offline. So if you're downloading music videos as opposed to music that you're downloading on Spotify, the audio content, it's pretty much the same thing, I reckon. And Spotify always used to have adverts every 2 or 3 songs, didn't it, on the free model? It's been so long since I had the free model, it might still do that, I don't know. But
it used to
have adverts anyway. But then you pay for your premium subscription and you don't have them, and you're able to play all your albums in order and, you know, do all that kind of funky stuff that you can do with Spotify. I think this YouTube's going to be very, very similar to that, and it's going to be for music videos what Spotify is for audio.
But I've got it.
But is it?
Sorry,
Vivo's
Kelly.
Vivo's its own thing.
Yeah, Vivo's a subscribed channel. It's not a paid... It's an advert-driven channel, isn't it?
But it's its own, like, service that sort of happens to be on YouTube. Like, the pages don't look the same. It's kind of cordoned off from the YouTube stuff, so I don't quite get... I don't know. Maybe my problem is just that YouTube has always been free and I don't see what paying $10 is going to get me, but maybe that's just I'm not a YouTuber. Like, I don't spend all my time there. Like, I go watch music videos because I can't get them on MTV anymore. That's it.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the occasional video for a how-to something at my house. Like, you know, that's about it.
I've got it in my head that YouTube has said that it's making its own content, aka Amazon, but I can't find the story. But I've got it in my head that that was about 6 weeks ago that YouTube announced that it was going to make its own content. But I can't find the story. So until I can find that. But that if they've got to go to this model if they're going to do that paid for content stuff. And that's where the Netflix thing's jived into it, I guess.
See, now, that's why. They definitely... Go ahead, Kelly.
Oh, well, don't be so British.
If they were backing shows already... And then moved. I understand why you think they need to do it first, but if it already sounded like YouTube thought Chad Vader was hilarious and wanted to turn that into an actual series, then here's what they do. And, you know, they write a check so that the guy behind Chad Vader can go make more episodes of Chad Vader. And that's it. So I guess because I haven't seen any of this original content kind of stuff from YouTube or even just sort of having them write a check for stuff that's popular already. You know, like when Lonely Island was only doing stuff on YouTube, like if YouTube had written them a check and been like, go make an actual episode of a series or something like that, then it seems like it would make more sense. But since we haven't seen that yet, to me, I'm just sort of wondering, what is it you want me to pay for? Because I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Chris, what was yours?
I was just going to say, because I had seen the same thing where YouTube was looking to create its own original content as well. And it would be silly for it, you know, to have all this. I mean, you look at YouTube, it hasn't really gone anywhere. So this is a big thing that they're doing to me as far as taking it to the next level. And the only natural progression would be, you know, movies and short TV shows and all of that jazz. I mean, people are doing them already, but Google should get behind that as well. So that's why I kind of think that this is a bit more geared towards like a Netflix or what Amazon's doing, as opposed to what a Spotify is doing. Because they already, I mean, they're the de facto location to go watch videos. So what better thing to do than to create your own original TV shows produced by Google, original movies produced by Google. I'm sure they were happy when the whole debacle with what's the movie that had all the issues with China?
The Interview.
They released it on Google too, and I'm sure they were all too happy to allow that to release on YouTube as well. So, I don't know. I'm speculating here, and I'm happy for the discussion. To me, it just looks kind of natural to me.
I think the thing is with YouTube, I mean, it's effectively a glacier deciding whether it's going to pick up any rocks or not. I mean, it's nothing stopping this. So if that's what they want to do, you might as well go with it. Otherwise, you're history. So, which is wrong, unless there really is a choice there. Jeffrey, what was your amazing story you brought for us?
Well, it's the amazing part comes when we get to the cool things.
Oh, okay.
So instead you get a story that I think ties in nicely with the story we just had. But first I have to say, Kelly, well done, Chad Vader. The only other thing I think you could have chosen and still been just as cool would have been Adult Wednesday Addams.
Oh, I totally, somehow that was not in my head at the moment, but that's another one that if YouTube wrote a check, so there.
Oh yeah.
So very there.
Anyhow, my story is the whole thing with the Star Wars movies going digital. So for anyone that's been like under a rock or in a coma for the past week, the big announcement came out at the beginning of the week that tomorrow, the 10th, you can start downloading the Star Wars movies. You pay for them and download them from all the different services. So they're $20 a pop for the digital download thing, and they all are digitally remastered, which tells me that they're probably hand not shooting first, and Jawas as comic relief, and hand shot first. That's all there is to it. But I'm looking at this, and I'm not seeing a really great thing for Star Wars fans. I'm seeing what looks like yet another attempt to get us to rebuy the same movies that we've already bought like five times.
And the reason that they're doing it is because then they can go look at all the copies that we're selling. Of course, nobody wants the old versions. Look at how many of the new ones that we sell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, so first question then, who's interested and who's not interested? Because I've got to raise my hand for the not interested, because I've got Blu-ray copies that are ripped and on my server. They're mine. I own them. They're my Blu-rays that I took the time to change and put onto my server with all my other 600 movies that I've ripped, which are mine.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all the discs for all of them, so come have a look in if you want. But I just don't see the point in getting new versions of the same story, because, I mean, the differences are so subtle. It's like when they remastered it and the Cantina was, you know, supposedly had better special effects in it and stuff like that. Well, great, but it didn't make me want to go and buy it. And I think they've missed the boat by holding off on the digital content for quite some time.
I agree. I'm not interested in buying these either. And I thought it was ridiculous that we went so long before we could get the Star Wars movies on DVD. I remember when that happened, it was like this huge thing.
Yeah.
And the only reason that I cared that they were available on DVD was because the VHS tapes that I had were wearing out.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to have to buy them anyhow. I might as well get newer medium. But otherwise, I didn't care. And I thought it was stupid back then that they waited so long. And I think it's stupid now that they've waited so long.
But that always happens. It took them forever to put out on Blu-ray. It took them forever to put out on iTunes. It took them forever. It always takes forever. And it's never the right movie. So, yeah. Guess which camp I fall in. The reason I'm aggravated about this is just exactly what I said. People will rush to them and buy them and be very excited about them. And so they're going to go see there's no reason to release the original ones. Now, if they were putting out a different version digitally and they're trying to like goose it up with like, oh, but you get all this extra crap. Like, I don't care.
Well, is this where Han dies at the end? No. I mean, what the hell? A different version. They're not going to change the core story. They might put a few extra special effects in,
they
and that's it.
They already have.
But the story
Yeah, they totally changed the core story on us.
Oh, go on. Yeah. Tell us what the change in the story is then.
A hand doesn't shoot first. And as soon as they made that change, where a hand shoots in self-defense, you completely changed the character through the entire
series.
He's
a good guy. That makes him a good guy all along. It doesn't make him like... Oh, he was a bad guy, so he totally left, and now you never think about him, and then all of a sudden, bam, he comes back at the end and helps scoop everybody out of the Death Star trench shenanigans, and then here we are. And the whole reason that you're not sure about it is because, like, hey, he took off with all that money. It's not like he's coming back to help anybody with this fight, and yet there he comes. And so then you think, wow, this is kind of an interesting fella, and then you kind of see what Princess Leia sees in him, and then they start making out in the second movie, and you're like, hey, all right, this is way better than when she was kissing her brother. And then they finally end up together by the end of the movie, and from the first film, when he actually was a scoundrel, to the end of the last one when he's a general and kind of a good guy, it's actually interesting. Even if it was accidental, George Lucas gave us a character arc and then he took it away.
What she said.
And then 98% of the population didn't notice.
Yes.
Well, I care.
No, because you're saying, right, Han shot first. But how many people would look at Han and think he was a good guy just because he shot second? I don't think anyone would.
Well,
still
he's not shooting.
No, everyone. No, I think. No, I think people do see him as a good guy if he shoots in self-defense, and you don't get any character development out of him. Mm-hmm. If Han does not shoot first, then he's the good guy from the beginning, and there's no redemption for him because there's no need for it. He becomes a very flat character. Have him shoot first, and all of a sudden you have this very interesting character that evolves and becomes something more than he ever thought he could be.
But no, because I mean, forget about the whether he shoots first or not. The exposition of his character is that he talks about him being a pirate. So, so he doesn't need to. It doesn't matter whether he shoots first or not.
It totally matters.
No, the exposition is that he talks about being a pirate. Matters. Oh well, we're going to disagree on that one then.
Oh.
Right, we had a fight the other week. Let's not have another one now.
it totally does matter, and the reason this is sort of frustrating to me is because a lot of people are going to buy them, and it's just going to be another one of those times when it is argued that the original ones don't need to exist. Although you can get a pretty close approximation through other means.
I'm sitting here thinking, I don't know whether the version I've got has hand shooting first or not. I have no clue.
If it's on Blu-ray, then it's not.
No, but the point is, second. I couldn't tell you. If you'd have told me that they changed it to the Blu-ray, and I may have a copy that's got Blu-ray with hand shooting first or not shooting first, I couldn't tell you whether he does or he doesn't. And it doesn't change the character for me. It doesn't change the character for Ellis, as far as I'm aware. So, but that's a different discussion. I think they're too late with the sale, is the long and the short of it, because everyone who wanted Star Wars on their server has bought it already.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. They should have done this long ago. This is way too late. And making a big deal out of it now shows their complete disconnect with the market.
It's like the Beatles coming to iTunes.
You don't think it's going to sell?
Oh, it's going to sell.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that much of a disconnect then.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to sell as much as they for would money. Like, it's not because a lot of the people that otherwise would have bought it. They've done exactly like Ewan and the rest of us. We ripped our DVDs or our Blu-rays so that we had our movies. And we're done.
Yeah, but you know, there are bazillions of fans out there who've done the same thing. They got the discs. They got unopened discs. They got the ones that they watch and the ones they won't watch. But anything that is Star Wars related must
They'll
have.
Buy it.
So
sure.
If it's a new digital copy on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you can get it, they're gonna get it, period. So I get it. I understand. I'm not that huge a fan of Star Wars. I've seen them all, but I'm not a Star Wars geek. But yeah, this is just clearly why they're a money move, and it's gonna make
it's just a money move.
Resilience.
All right, so if you want to stick it to the man a little bit,
like us, that don't know how to use Handbrake and copy their DVDs, etc., you know, the slightly lazier ones or the ones that aren't tech savvy that are just going to want the convenience of being able to buy it and have it on their smartphone or tablet or whatever. So you got that audience as well, which is probably quite larger than we think.
Last word goes to Bookery, who's put in, Han is a smuggler. He snots when he wants. He just wants to survive. And Batwidge put, he snots. And Swatmerit says, Han's Han a Kleenex.
That's awesome. All right, I have a tip to go along with this. If you are going to buy the digital copies, buy them from iTunes. And the reason you want to do that is because iTunes has the Disney tie-in, and so then you can get the digital
Disney
versions through the Disney app as well, which means you can also get formats for all different kinds of devices. So you can spread your content around a lot more if you buy from iTunes as opposed to buying from Amazon.
And for those that are interested,
at the thought of doing anything with Apple?
then don't worry, because you've already ripped it off of your DVDs and Blu-rays. You're set.
Yeah, and Han will shoot.
That one says you get an R2-D2 avatar thingy on Xbox, so maybe you need to buy them from Microsoft instead.
Oh, see, Xbox. Now here you go. You have to buy the same copies from all the different platforms. You get the different cool things that come with each one.
Does Sharon know about my later plans? No, she doesn't. We're not going to get into a story about Xbox versus or Apple, Microsoft versus Apple, because we've already got into enough trouble with the hands shooting first bit. So there we go. Righty boy, what was your story?
Well, funny enough, it links into Jeff's stories about Star Wars.
Oh, cool.
But
you'd think we planned this.
But the ridiculous amount of money they're actually charging you for a digital copy of a film, because I think it's 70 quid over here, and it's $19 or $20 a movie over there. And for a digital copy that hasn't got any packaging, they deliver it all, they're charging a stupid amount of money. But did you know that this week is the 10th anniversary of the reboot of Doctor Who?
This week? Yes, it is. I know right where you're going with this, and it's awesome.
Exactly. And to celebrate, BBC have Peter Capaldi, obviously 13th Doctor, has handpicked 20-odd episodes that he think are the best episodes. And he's done video intros for all of those episodes, and there's other additional content. But the difference is, not through iTunes, not through Netflix, not on DVD or Blu-ray or anything, that BBC are distributed through BitTorrent. And you can actually get all of these episodes via BitTorrent legally for £8. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's an absolutely brilliant kind of scheme because they haven't got to have any massive data centers. They've just got to see one version of it, and then the community sees it to everyone else. And the fact they're keeping the price down, and you know, there's more hours of content in this Doctor Who package than there is in all of the Star Wars. And it's actually new original content, not just like voiceovers and stuff you've probably seen before. I just think it's an absolutely brilliant way of companies actually delivering their content again, because obviously BitTorrent is, you know, renowned for being, you know, infamous for illegal content. But it's amazing that BBC Worldwide are looking at this and going, do you know what, we can distribute our content through that, and there are copies of the files that you can keep and do what you want with. But obviously you are then helping other fans get hold of that content, you're seeding it. And I think it's, you know, for the anniversary, it's just a brilliant way of embracing, you know, basically an old technology to get the content out there.
I don't understand. Please explain to me how they get a charge model through BitTorrent.
Well, that's what I was going
to
ask.
If you go to the, I'll put the link
so
in the chat.
So what it says here is fans can download a 10-minute preview of the first 2005 episode Rose with an instructive video from Keith Capaldi. To unlock the rest of the full 10-episode bundle, including two partners. Fans will have to pay $12, brackets £8, to get the episodes Rose, The Empty Child, The Doctor Dances, Girl in the Fireplace, Blink, The End of Time, Vampires of the Venice, The Doctor's Wife, The Rings of Akhaten, and The Day of the Doctor, and Listen. But I don't understand how they're going to charge.
That's actually a good set.
For that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm not too hot on that. Maybe they're encrypted files, and maybe you need a key to unlock them, but... Not going by the, you know, how you watch them, but just the fact that they're embracing BitTorrent again after all this time, because that means that they haven't got any huge data centers or anything like that to distribute it. That keeps their costs down. And maybe for digital content, it should go back to that sort of model to, you know, distribute things in the future. But I just think it's a huge win for them. And obviously, it has kept the price down, because £8 or 12, you know, I think everyone here... Who's not too fat would pay £8 or $12 for all these
bucks,
episodes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing: is if you are, let's be honest, if you're Jeff and Kelly, and you're trying to get content legitimately, and you decide that you want to go buy a Doctor Who DVD, or someone you know is having a gift giving occasion and wants to buy you something that they know you like, and they know you like Doctor Who, it's like $60 for a set.
Mm-hmm.
It's like double the price of what most any other set would be. Like we were talking about The Blacklist earlier. When they put out that season of The Blacklist, it's going to be like 24 episodes or whatever. And it's going to be like $40. And this is 12, and it's $60. And I have no problem paying for content which I enjoy, but that's a lot of money. So for this to be a thing, and for me to be able to hand over $12 and get a really nice... sampling of Doctor Who, this is awesome. Like, I could buy this for other people and be like, here, you want to know what I'm so worked up about all the time? It's this. Go learn to speak my language. Yeah. And I think it's amazing. I'm super pumped about it. And the reason I'm excited about it is because this is like $80 worth of content in the US.
I bought it straight away. I saw it last night. I bought it straight away, and I watched all the Peter Capaldi interviews and introductions. They're brilliant. You know, it's real original stuff, and he tells you why he likes the episodes and why he picked them, and there's obviously other little TV movies in there and all that sort of thing. It's just, you know, $12, eight quid, you know, who knows what the technology is behind it, but it's just a great deal when Star Wars is charging, you know, 10 times that, or almost 20 times that, just for stuff that you've already probably got.
Just shut up and take my money.
Batwench has thrown a link in the chat room to this, bundles.bittorrent.com/bundles/Doctor-Who. Yeah. Doctor-Who, that's a good one. There's an interesting link at the bottom that says become a publisher. So I think you have to buy the links. So when you don't get links automatically, but as soon as those links get out on the net, I can't see how they control downloads. I really don't. You've got to go through a publisher, it would look.
I'm not sure how it works, but I'm excited to find out.
Well, Kelly's been separated from the $12, I would say, already, probably. There we go.
That's
quite interesting. I'm having a look on the bundles at the moment, and there's quite a lot of bundles available that, you know, I'd say I haven't really heard of, and the Doctor Who one is the first sort of really big name sort of video that's available. It'll be interesting to see how well this takes off, and if the BBC are going to start looking at, or you know, any other industry are going to look at trying to get some other type of content on there if it works. I really do hope it does, because, you know, that's a fantastic price, and it's a really, like Righty says, it's a really interesting model.
Top
and
Gear,
could shape a few more models to come.
Yes. When did this go up?
This week, so April 2nd. I only found out about it yesterday, but it's been up a couple of days.
Okay.
There we go.
So I would like to point out it's been up more than 24 hours. It does appear, to all intents and purposes, the world is in fact still turning.
Mm-hmm,
the BBC has not filed for bankruptcy. So this all seems pretty...
It seems pretty cool.
Pretty awesome and pretty non-impactful. Like, remember, okay, BitTorrent was the end of civilization, and that's actually not the case, and I'm glad to see it.
There we go. Rumour is that Sue Perkins is Clarkson's replacement. Yeah, well, Kelly, G, what did you bring?
And on that tangent.
Yeah, because there's a smooth transition. I have a piece from Engadget about a metal that is never pronounced correctly, depending who you ask. But there's a new sort of battery that Stanford University has developed, which is less explodey than lithium. That comes straight from the article.
Less explodey is good?
Yeah, you know, you'd think. It's a fraction of the price and recharges in just about a minute. Our new battery won't catch fire even if you drill through it.
Yes. Yes. Just to say, that's fully charged within a minute.
Stanford's prototype can cycle more than 7,500 times without any capacity loss, 7.5 times longer than your average lithium ion. The aluminum ion cell isn't perfect yet. 2 volts, which is far less than the 3.6 you get from lithium ion. And aluminum cells carry 40 watts of electricity per kilogram as opposed to lithium's 100 to 206 watts per kilogram. But as a prototype, it's because it is an idea and it's a thing that they're doing and that it works and it exists, I can only imagine that it's going to get improved and that this is the future of what's going to power all my whatnots from now on.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to say it's the thing that they need to prove is not just the recharge, it's the fact of the dissipation of it. So, you know, if a 2200 milliamp hour battery is going to be the size of you know, a 6 terabyte drive from Western Digital, which is what's in front of me, then yeah, keep it. I'm not interested. So it's going to have to come up with the compact size as well as the safety element and as well as the rechargeability element. But right. But yeah, fantastic.
Well, the one in the video is really small.
But it's, I mean, say, is it
flat and thin?
Smaller. Yeah, but that'll be see. That's just a single cell. The one that's on the video there. That's
right,
not, that's
but
not a multi-cell. Yeah.
No, but it's the concept of it. Like, the fact that there is that one cell, and now that they've got one and it works, they can make it smaller. They can improve the capacity. They can do a lot of different things. The awesome thing about it is the rapid rechargeability, that it gets 7,500 cycles without capacity loss. I can't think of anything that is anywhere near that right now. And
no.
The fact that the safety of it, like you can drill through it and still have a battery.
That's immense, absolutely. But yeah. it's a 3.6 volt single cell, so that'll charge very quickly anyway. The problem you've got with going to multi-cell is you've got to balance the charge across the cells. Otherwise, forget about the safety element, it doesn't dissipate evenly and you won't get the same performance. So that's what takes the time is multi-cell, and they're only showing a single cell here. So there's a bit of work to do, yeah. I would suggest.
Oh, yeah. Sure. But the fact that it's an idea and that it's something, because this is a problem lots of people have that this could potentially solve. I mean, you know, I have a drawer that has a whole bunch of rechargeable AA batteries in it because lots of stuff at my house uses AA batteries. And there's never two that are live when I need them. So it's really frustrating. So for something like this to be able to work and to be a minute instead of me having to go, I guess I'll play Xbox tomorrow because my controller is dead. That would be awesome.
Enter loop. That's what you need.
Just get you need enter loop. I was about to say the very same thing.
Just get a whole pile of those and keep them charged and leave them around the house, and they're brilliant.
Yeah, the fact that they'll last longer too is a big part of this. That you know, they last longer than the current batteries we're using. That and the possible application into electric cars is the two things that kind of perk me up, because in the back of my head, I've been thinking about, like, you know, getting one of these Teslas or something like that for my wifey. But you know, I'm excited about this as well, because there's nothing worse than you're on the, you know, I work from home, so I'm home all day. My battery's always charged as soon as I step out the door for any length of period of time, and I'm using the phone just as heavily as I would use it at home. And all of a sudden, you know, a couple hours later, and the phone's just crying for some charging, you know. So yeah, anything around battery technology always gets me looking up.
Yeah, good if it's coming. Be nice.
Yeah.
We'll welcome it with open arms. Chris, what's your story, sir?
My story is very cool to me. And this is the fact that...
That's never a good sign if you got to qualify it. But go ahead.
but the fact that Windows 10 for phones is supposed to come out tomorrow. So that's actually good news for everybody. You know, during the Windows Weekly show, Gabe Owl, I think that's how you pronounce his name, had kind of dropped the bomb on everybody that the new version of Windows 10 for phones should be coming out this Friday. And the cool thing about this new version is the fact that they're going to include a slew of the Lumia phones that weren't included on the original release of Windows 10 for phones. So I'm excited because the 1520 is included in that. The 1020 is in that list. For the folks that have those devices. The only, and honestly, probably one of the two of the devices that didn't get included was the Icon and the, I think the, what is it, the 930, the Lumia 930. So, and then, you know, coupled with that was some releases of some screenshots that came out. We're showing some of the new task switchers that was going to be included in the phone, or just kind of grouped together a bit. In sets of four. So currently it's like one app you have to swipe over, then there's the next app, swipe over. Now there'll be four per swipe, which I think is pretty cool. You can see that they're shrinking the space that they're using in the UI. It's not as big anymore, so you can get more stuff on there, and it's a lot cleaner, or is some of the things that's showing up in the UI as well. So hopefully these new things show up in the build as well as putting a lot of the Word editing features into Outlook. And to me, there's no better email mobile client than Outlook on Windows Phone. And the fact that they're enhancing this thing with with some of the Word features, such as changing the size of the heading and styling and creating tables and stuff like that on your phone, to me is pretty slick. So this has got me pretty excited.
The thing that was quite interesting to me was I tried to update to Windows 10 Beta when it came out, and that was carrier-based. So there was no version for the 1020 for the 3 network in the UK, which is the one that I'm on. And I thought that was quite interesting that there seemed to be a carrier tie-in with the beta. Is that the same?
Well, the original limitation on the first beta, from what I understand, was the fact that a lot of the... basically, I think the reason why it was carrier-based was the carriers kind of determined how the phone was partitioned. And so the primary partition where the operating system lived, depending on how it was partitioned, would be too small for the upgrade. So they had to come, they have a term, what they called partition stitching, which is basically a way to upgrade the phone with the new operating system. And somehow, you know, I have yet to see what the full explanation of what this partition stitching contains. However, the idea would be, I guess, that they, you know, they can kind of temporarily store some of the files somewhere while they upgrade all the different files in place. Now, some of the newer phones, the primary partition was bigger, so it had enough space to upgrade in place, and that's why those original phones were out first. So I think that's why it was kind of carrier tied, but it was more based on the device as opposed to the actual carrier.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. So, I mean, back when she's now saying she's got the 1020 on a 3 SIM, would that be an issue for her? But what was interesting is my 1020 is SIM free, but it was saying that I couldn't update because I was on
They must have just blocked it by the number, because I know the 1020 was left out of the first initial one because of the, and I believe it still had the same, it's had the same partition issue.
Right. Same as me, Ewan says, Batwinch. So yeah, she's tried, obviously.
So, but the 1020 is on the list, I'll put the link in there real quick so folks can go check to see if their phone is on the list. Stupid Flash crashed again. Sorry, Flash.
I'll give it a go.
But yeah, this is pretty cool, man. I'm really excited about this because I'm so pressed. I usually buy two flagship phones a year, so if the flagship comes out, I'm gonna grab it, just like most people in this call today and listening online. You know, I need flagships. I need new hotness constantly. Otherwise, I get bored. And I still have the 1520, which is widely considered the best Windows phone that's out. And I hate this thing right now. I just want to put a hammer through it because I've had it for longer than a year. I can't tell you the last time I had a phone longer than a year. So, and honestly, I took the case off the phone just so it feels like a new phone to me. And now in January, I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to try an iPhone or Android phone for 6 months until the new Windows phones come out. And that's how bad it was. Oh. And I was going to align myself with icky stuff just to have something new in my hand. But now that the fact that I'm getting a new operating system on my phone kind of will hold that off a little bit. So I'm damn excited.
It's a dramatic upgrade, too, from what I've seen of Windows 10 on the mobile side.
It's looking nice. It's looking really nice.
Yeah, I'm desperate to try it. But I got put off with the beta when I tried to upgrade to the base because I don't use the 1020 every single day anymore.
Sure.
So I was keen to give it a go. The only thing I would say is that Windows Phone has got to be careful is that, you know, for me, I wanted more improvements in the camera. I don't like the shutter lag on it, which is a problem.
Oh, it's gone. The it's DMG. Gone.
Is the shutter lag gone on 10?
Yeah, with the last update that Microsoft did with the Windows Phone, the speed of the camera that for it launching and how fast it takes pictures has really been improved. It's awesome. Like you just before I'd press and hold the camera button and it would take a couple seconds for it to pop up, but now it's practically instant for the camera to come up, and they did improve it taking the pictures too. So
Motorbike saying 930, no shutter lag at all on it anymore. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, they see the problem with the camera was the fact that Nokia did a lot of that camera stuff without telling Microsoft, which was stupid because of course Microsoft could give them whatever access they needed to the hardware to make it run as efficiently as possible. And this is proof that the fact that when Microsoft got a hold of it and was now working directly with it, it is significantly better than what it was before. And, you know, aside from the speed of it, everybody loved the pictures it was taking. And it's way better now. So that just kind of showed you that they kind of dropped the ball on that one. That definitely, if you get the update on your phone, you're definitely going to want to check that out. It is nice.
Awesome. I think it's going to be really interesting what happens with Windows Mobile 10 and how well it's received, because at the moment, everything Microsoft is touching, and I'm a big Apple fan, but everything they're touching seems to be turning to gold at the moment. Nutella's doing such a fantastic job there. Yeah. And it's being released two weeks, obviously, before the Apple Watch is released, and the reviews are already coming out about the Apple Watch, and it's, you know, it's very mixed at the moment, dependent on what you read. And Windows Mobile 10, it could just, you know, this could could be the thing that sort of like really, really closes the gap, because everything I've read about Windows Mobile 10 is it's fantastic. And this is a really, really interesting couple of weeks, I reckon, for the Apple-Microsoft divide.
8 was great as well, mate. So it could be significantly better. I mean, if the one thing I love my iPhone for is 720 is the 120 frame a second video, and I love the fact that it shoots 1080 at 60 frames a second. That's great for just that little bit of slowdown on it if I use it quickly out on site if I'm caught. If they gave me 60 frames a second video, I'd go back to my 1020. I'd be back at 1020 in a heartbeat. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I would. Because I always loved the camera. I loved the static camera on it. It was far better. And the other thing is battery life. I mean, the battery life on the iPhone 6 is just stellar. Absolutely stellar. Even with the battery pack, the 1020 can't touch it. So, and that's with the old camera-y thing. Oh, the Invisiphone. Here we go. Okay. Invisible phone. Ooh. It's the new invisible phone from Satya Nutella.
Damn.
There we go. I think Windows 10 could do an awful lot for the mobile market, and after Arents has come out with a little, I'm going to have a rant tomorrow on this on the Mac show, but after Arents has come out with a don't queue, she clearly doesn't get Apple people, there's an awful lot of me thinking, you know, if Windows sorts its shit out with the OS, I might end up going back.
Come on home.
I might.
Baby, come on home to daddy.
I might.
Oh, there's an invite.
I might. Never can tell. Excellent. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the fantastic people at UK2. Now, they give us all the servers and that kind of stuff. And if you want domains, co-location services, VPS, VPN, cloud stuff, anything like that, they're the people to go to. There's loads and loads you can get there. There's offer codes as well. All you've got to go is to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2 and it will take you straight to their page with our link so that we get the credit for having sent you. Use our offer codes through that link and you're away and up and running. And they support us immensely. We can't thank them enough for the support they've got. But one of the things that they've linked us up to is the live show. And the live show is now being streamed through our own RTMP server. So forget live stream itself. The live show is coming to you direct from BTNHQ. And the interesting thing is that there is a 2-second delay to the entire world. It's that good. And it's sponsored by 100TB.com, who are an American brand of the same group of companies, QNET, who UK2 are part of. And that's specifically for our American listeners, the server that we are using for our broadcasts that is this good at 2-second delay is the one that you can buy for $139 a month. It is unbelievably fast. Superb stuff. So check out 100TB.com. We haven't got a tracking link at the moment, but we will be getting one just to say that we sent you. And I'm sure there'll be some offer codes coming up in the near future. But thanks to 100TB.com and thanks to UK2 for hooking us up with them. The live stream on this show is just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Paul was doing a little clap test before we started and couldn't get over the fact he was clapping and going 1,001, 1,002, and he'd already clapped on screen. So
it's mental, isn't it?
It is incredible. It is just brilliant. You could almost do this show listening to the audio back from the feed and probably still keep up with your own speech. It wouldn't be that bad. They're superb. Thank you very much to them. Other things that we've got coming up. Well, Batwench has started up a clan for Destiny. So, Chris, I know you've played with her on this. If you're into Destiny, then go to the BTN clan on the servers there. I'm trying to find the link, but I can't find it. But look for Batwench. The E in Batwench is spelt with a 3, though, if you want to find her. And she'll send it through to you. So have a go with that. It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. Even though I don't play Destiny. I'm sorry, I was about to say.
Destiny is so much fun playing with other people that I bought my brother an Xbox and Destiny so he could play with us.
Wow.
And?
Holy moly.
And it's great.
Right. I might be getting
He leveled Destiny up tomorrow, two characters in a week. We worked together, but he leveled up two characters in a week, been on 4 raids. He's already got exotic weapons and legendary weapons out the wazoo. it's just that fun. And I missed playing with my brother. I hadn't played, you know, he's the one, my older brother. He's the one that got me into gaming in the first place. And I was like, you know what? We need more people to game with. And I bought him an Xbox. That's how much fun Destiny is with other people.
Right. Okay. I'll put the link. Batwench sent me the link, so thank you. I shall put that in the show notes, Batwench, and people can get to it. Superb. And also, you too can have your own caricature. Batwench had hers. She's it's $100. Len Peralta will draw your caricature, and you can do with it as you will. So you'll get the caricature yourself to use on all your own stuff. Batwench is using hers on her Twitter. You get a banner, one banner that goes in the roll of banners that we've got on the page. I think we've got 35, 36 banners at the moment that you can collect on the BTN page of varying different styles. Batwinch decided she wanted her BTN podcast dream team, which several of us are on, and she gets her own All Access Areas pass. And there we go. I'll make the offer. If you want the Sticker Bomb software that Righty's out, Sticker Bomb, not software, Sticker Bomb artwork that Righty's got, when you buy your caricature, I will put your caricature where mine is here on mine. So you will get your picture right there, and I'll send you the artwork, and you can get it printed out and do whatever you want with it against the Sticker Bomb background as well. That's, so there you go. But that's a Len Peralta caricature. All you got to do is send us an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com. Don't forget to spell caricatures without an H. Yeah. And you can get yours made, just like Batwinch. And there's hers. Absolutely superb. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you very much for your support, Batwinch. We do appreciate it. And the bash is coming up. Don't forget the bash. Now's the time to get your tickets. You've only got a couple of months left. I've got to confirm the venue. So we need to sell a minimum of 40 tickets for me to confirm the venue, otherwise we can't afford it. Simple as that. So please, if you need your tickets, get them now, because if you're leaving it till the last minute, it may not happen. If we haven't got enough people, I will just cancel it. So don't leave it till the last minute. A few people did leave it till the last minute last year, and we got a little surge at the end, which was great, and we'd fortunately made the decision to go ahead, but we could have ended up not doing it. So now's the time to get your bash ticket. £20, we've dropped the price by £5, even though we've got no sponsor this year. For £20, you can get everything for the day. All you've got to do is get yourself there. Anything you want to drink will be included, alcoholic or otherwise. Anything you want to eat will already be there. Kids will come free if you're under 16 years of age. Bring the kids with you. It's a great, great family day. And just to prove it, the neighbours, they brought their kids, one at 4 years old and one at 7 years old, and they won the bloody card-cutting championships. So the good news is, the bad news is that Carly Neighbour's not coming, Steve's wife, but the good news is Carly Neighbour's not coming, because that means there's one less neighbour to beat in the World Card Cutting Championships. So get yourself down there, get your ticket if you can, please. The curry the night before is £10 for everyone, including kids, for a deposit. And then at the end of the night, the deposit gets handed over, and whatever the bar bill is, we split between all the adults that are present. The kids don't get to pay for the drinks, but although they should, I suppose. So third for the curry, fourth for the bash. Get your tickets now, because we need to make sure that we get it confirmed and get everything up and running. And just to update you, I still don't have an Uber car in Birmingham. Still haven't seen one. I've tried three times to order an Uber now, and I still haven't got one. Sorry, guys. You're making a right cock of this. Okay. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, please, Mr. Garrett.
Mr. Garrett. Right. I've actually got two, but I'm going to be really quick, because I really want to know what Jeff's got lurking up his sleeve, because he's been teasing us the whole episode. So the first one is, it's actually an album, because we're the British Tech Network, and one of the best British tech bands of the last 20 years has been The Prodigy, and their new album is out, and it is absolutely essential listening. I absolutely love this album. Ah, it's phenomenal. The Day Is My Enemy. It's so not safe for work, so don't have it around the kids or anything like that, because there's a few naughty words, as there are in every album they do, but oh, it's an amazing album. Really, really good, and one of the best that they've done. So that's number one. The second one is a bit Game of Thronesy based. What it is, is on Sesame Street this week, they decided to do a parody because there's a new season starting, and it's called Game of Chairs. So if you do a YouTube search for Game of Chairs, and you'll see Grover and the gang mimicking exactly what goes on at King's Landing. It's quite funny, and it's a good way of being able to get the kids into Game of Thrones without looking at all the dragons and fornicating. So,
and go Jeff, for it. What's the best links bit in the of chat that sketch? Room.
Can we hurry this up? I have a wedding to get to.
You what?
That's my favorite line from Game of Chairs.
Oh. Okay, well, I haven't watched it yet, so don't spoil it, eh? No spoilers.
I won't spoil it.
No spoilers. Right, okay. Why would you want to get the kids into Game of Thrones when you can't let them watch it anyway?
Well, it's such a lovely, lovely story, isn't it? But now we've got a kids' safe version. Yeah,
it's all about families and love.
I'm calling social services on you, Garrett.
You wouldn't be the first one.
Well, good picks, mate. I think the first one was excellent. I should go and buy that in the morning. Jeffrey, what's this eminently cool I should have made everyone wait really till the very end, shouldn't I? But go for it, mate. Tell me.
It's all right.
The super cool thing.
All right, so you know I'm always out watching for interesting things to keep everyone entertained. And I'm grabbing a link for everyone now. Okay, so what I found was this company has started advertising a vibrator for women.
And Jeffrey's frozen.
Oh, this is getting good.
You're having a laugh.
He's done that on purpose. Has he done that?
He has. He's done that on purpose, hasn't he? That's it. I can't believe Jeffrey's disappeared. He's frozen and disappeared. That's like... right, Jeffrey, you're going to have to...
I cut out, didn't I?
You cut out. Someone's made a vibrator for women and then it stopped.
That was the vinegar strikes.
Oh, my God.
That was the worst time pause ever. Start again. Right, I can edit. Don't worry.
All right, so what I found is this vibrator that's made for women that's actually... surgically implanted so that the woman has the vibrator with her all the time. She controls it however she wants through Bluetooth, and then the battery recharges through body heat. And the company that makes this, they're like really building it up as this big thing. The whole operation to get it implanted, plus the hardware and lifetime guarantee on the battery, $6,500. And they've just been going on and on about how amazing this is. And what I found to be really amazing was that I saw people just like flipping out over this, you know, like, oh my God, I'll buy this for my girlfriend and then she can turn it on and we'll both feel it when we're having sex and just, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So I have a link that I'm going to drop into the group. And then the follow-up link for it, which is the actual product link, which shows just how amazingly easy it is to get people excited about stuff on the internet. No one bothered to check to see what day the company made this big announcement, which happened to be April 1st.
Yeah. The orgasmia.
So there's a company out there that did this really great build-up for a vibrator that is surgically implanted. Now, the idea of that, I think, is actually kind of cool. So maybe now someone will actually come up with something.
I mean, I'm looking at this thing thinking, this has got to be doable.
See? Now you're thinking about it, and it's like, hey,
but to be
this is such a bad idea.
But you've got to say... there's an awful lot of nerve endings around there that would. So I mean, it's if you nick the wrong bit while you're implanting it, mate, it's curtains.
Then it's kind of worthless.
Excusing the pun. yeah, you nick the wrong bit. It's beef curtains. There we go.
Beef curtains.
Oh. Anyhow, so I just loved it because this is done so well. And as you read it, it's like, it just feels totally plausible. And the idea of a shared vibrator like that, like, you know, you're having sex with someone and they turn this on and they feel it and you feel it at the same time. That's kind of an intriguing thing. But then the other side of it where everyone on the internet was just eating this up and didn't even bother to look and see if it was real or if it was a joke.
So we're talking about sex toys, and Chris actually puts a link to buffalo wings in the chat room.
That's right.
Okay.
What's better? What do you do after you have sex? You go eat some wings. In your face.
No, no.
In the face.
In the face.
I roll over and go to sleep. That's bad enough.
Man, no, you got to get you some wings.
Rolling over and going to sleep is bad enough for the grief I get off the wife. If I said, let's go out for some wings, she'd give me a right slap.
You guys are doing this wrong. What you do is you have a big drink of water to stay hydrated, then you start again.
Nah, when I'm done, she sleep. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm done.
Batwedge has put in the chat room a link to Bacon Lube, which is lubricant that's flavored like bacon. There's a
link. That showed up for me sometimes in the article as an ad because, hey, you know, everyone loves some bacon.
Bacon flavored lubricant. There we go. I'd like to say excellent pick, but it was an April Fool's joke, so it's not really, I suppose, because we can't get it. It's made me sad now.
I'm sorry.
That's all right, mate.
But let's do a Kickstarter.
Yeah, yeah. Righty boy, what did you bring?
I didn't even go on after that. Mine's like family wholesome and lovely.
Oh, go on then.
Well, as you probably know, I've just come back from Disney, and one thing you get to do there is get stupid bitches taken on roller coasters if you go and normally you have to stand outside and go, yeah, I look like a twat, but I will I'll pay €15 for the privilege. But if you go to Euro Disney now, you get the thing called the photo pass, and it's $49 euros, which sounds like a lot of money, but they give you a little card, and all you do is every ride that you go on, you scan it and they upload it to an app that you can register with. And normally if we've been before, and if we're on every ride and spend €15 for every ride, we'd spend like €300. But they give you every single photo that is taken of you, and you can download them for €49. And so normally we'd get just like the odd one or two. We've got every single photo, so I've just spent the last week looking at myself going, and looking like a real...
What's the quality like?
The quality is it's high-def quality.
Right,
and the good thing is, because they're full digital copies, you can download them to your computer via the app or the website and do what you like with them instead of sitting there waiting for the printer out, stick it in a tacky frame and pay them €15 each.
And have to carry it around for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I like that. I think that's got to be, that's one of the top picks, definitely. Well done, Disney, for not being money-grabbing bastards.
Yeah.
Well, the other nice thing about it...
We went and met Mickey, and last time we got one photo that's €15, and this time we got eight. So it paid itself back like within like the first session.
Because it's more than just on the rides. You can also get it like... They have that Disney photographer that's staked out in front of the castle, and they have them at different other notable locations, all the meet and greets. They all have photographers there, and so with the photo pass, you can just wave your photo pass at it and get all of it for one price.
Yeah, so. We just like, you know, that one card, just sitting there, just wave it in front of the thing, it beeps, and you've got it, and when we got home, they're all waiting for us, absolutely brilliant.
And the Euro's not doing particularly brilliantly against the pound at the moment, so...
No, we did quite well on that. We got 140.
Very good.
I'm off to
the one in Florida in May, so I will definitely be using that. I didn't know about that. Thank you.
Yeah. It's nearly as bad as the dollar. But not quite. Last, but by no means least, Chris Ashley, what's your campaign, sir?
Let me tell you something. The reason why I actually posted those wings, because I wanted you guys to see what my pick could do. And my pick is a pretty awesome one, and it's the Philips Digital Air Fryer. And I don't know if anybody knows what an air fryer is, but essentially it allows you to fry food without using oil. And what they do is they use a very high heat plus kind of a convection where the air is moved all the way around the whatever you're cooking, and that moving it around makes it kind of, and the combination of the high heat gives the outside of whatever you're cooking that nice, crispy feeling that you're looking for, as well as then, you know, using it to cook meat. So I wasn't too sure about this, but one of my things I wanted to do was cut down on the amount of oily wings I was eating and try to eat wings a bit more healthy. So I went out and grabbed this device. It's about the size of a Keurig, for anybody who wants to reference how big this thing is. It's very tiny. But at one go, I can actually get probably about a good 15 to 16 wings on one run. It says to cook it for about 16 minutes. I like to do it around 22 minutes. But when it's done, that picture is the result of a batch of wings that I made. And it's awesome. And, you know, I didn't add a drop of oil to it. The outside was exactly crispy as if I had stuck it into a fryer. The food that you cook in this thing is elevated, so all the oil just goes down to the bottom, and you don't have to like dig it out of oil or anything like that. You can use this thing to do French fries if you want to do something healthy. Do some sweet potato fries in this thing. It comes with a recipe book, so you can have all different types of things that you can cook inside of this. But it's absolutely awesome. So I know a lot of folks looking to, you know, cook a lot, eat a lot healthier, and they're probably looking for ways to eat some of the old foods they want to eat, but in a more healthier manner. You have to check out this Philips digital air fryer. It is fantastic.
Do you put any oil in it? Do you have to put some in?
No.
None at all.
For like stuff like potatoes, like a French fry, what they recommend is you do like a teaspoon of olive oil, and you just kind of mix them all in, and that kind of helps crisp like vegetables that don't have any natural oil in it. Man. But for my wings, I don't use a drop of oil. Not a drop. I just lay the wings in there. All the oil that's in the wings kind of drips out of it. But, you know, because the air is moving around, some of that oil gets used to fry itself.
What's the stink like?
It doesn't smell bad at all. You don't have that big oily smell like you would if you had a dirty fryer next to you. And that's the other thing too, is the cleanup on this thing is easy because the bottom pan is a nonstick. So when you just get some hot water, wash it out, and you can get like a nice little scrub brush. The rack that it comes with is stainless steel, so you can just kind of brush it off with the rack. The only thing that's tough to clean is the grate that sits at the bottom, where the first layer of meat goes onto. That is a little bit tougher, but when I say a little bit, I just mean a little bit. You get a nice little scrub brush, go over top of that thing, get you a nice little sponge, go over top of the thing. Not to mention all the drawer and those other two pieces are dishwasher safe, so you can't throw them in the dishwasher. I just like to manually hand wash it, but obviously you get this. It's no different than cooking any type of food. So you get some, you get that nice smell of the food cooking, and then that's it. You're good to go. So it's not bad at all.
Sounds awesome.
Mm.
And it's so tiny that you can just put it anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, I have it in my office, and I never took it out of my office. I was just like, yeah, forget it.
So you just sit there and cook at your desk?
I do, sometimes.
Yeah. I want to come hang out with you.
I know.
Anytime. I'll feed you. I got a smoker out back, large grill, some wings in my air fryer. I got you. It's all good. Come to DC.
What's the price?
Jeff, I'll pack the car.
Sweet.
For you guys, it's 189 euros.
Yeah, I'm seeing £200 there. So
yeah, so it's it comes in two sizes. So there's a smaller size that's like $99, and then there's a larger size that is the $189. So, but I suggest you get the larger size, because you don't want to keep going over and over and over again. So I got the Viva Collection one. That's kind of it's all digital. With your timer. So you just set your timer, walk away from it, it starts beeping. You know, what you do is you kind of shake it when it's halfway through the timer. You just go back and give it a nice little shaking to kind of loosen it up, kind of let them turn over a little bit, put it back in there, let it go. I was skeptical. I was ready to return it, but after I used it the first time, I was like, oh, this is it. We're in for good. Because I love wings. That's one of my favorite things to eat. Yeah. And because I can season them myself. And you can make your own dry rub wings, or which is what I like. But of course, you can do your own sauce, butter, hot sauce, and throw in some seasonings with it, mix it up, whatever you want to do. But this thing has been awesome for me so far.
Excellent, really good. I like that. I'm hovering over the click to buy. Yeah.
And I sent the picture first, so you have proof of my wings.
George, Foreman grill, says Bookery. Yeah, we bought a George Foreman grill, but it crapped out because we used it loads. And we bought one for Sharon's dad, and he only cooks for himself, and he's had it now for about 15 years, and he loves it.
Wow.
He still cooks on it every night. There you go. A couple of little pork steaks on there. Close the lid. Yeah, brilliant. Now, do you remember the eclipse the other week?
Mm-hmm.
I was out
there. The 5-minute eclipse.
Yeah, I got the eclipse, and I took loads of pictures, and I bought myself a 77mm ND100 lens for it, so that I could get enough darkening to not burn the crap out of my sensor. And I took that. And one of the things that I got when I was on there was some sliding ND filters. So it was like, you remember the old Kokin series? You used to get those, and they were a little screw-on filament, and you used to drop glass slides in the top.
Right.
And I thought, well, I need to get a few extra neutral density filters just in case this isn't enough and I can slide those in front of it. So I bought myself a little pack of filters. Now, I've never used graduated filters or anything like that much in the past for landscapes and that kind of thing, so I'm not a landscape photographer. But I bought these. They're from a firm called XC Source, and I buy loads of stuff that's XC Source badge because it's really good quality and it's dirt cheap, and it usually comes fairly quickly if it's not already held by Amazon here. These are £25, and you get prime on them as well if you're interested. It's a 24-piece graduated filter set, including neutral density filters and colour gels. So you get 24 neutral density filters, even really darky black ones as well. And also you get a whole load of step rings as well, so you can fit them to any lens that you've got effectively, right from 52mm all the way up to 80, or 82mm, I think. 52mm to 82mm is the range, which is huge. And there's the traditional sizes in there. I haven't got a lens that this doesn't fit in my little bag of tricks. And I've used a couple of them, and they're really good. The quality of the images that comes out is absolutely excellent. They come in a nice little foldable wallet as well, so you haven't got to worry about scratching them. And they're all sealed in individual plastic, so as long as you carefully put them back in the plastic, you won't scratch the gels on these at all. They're absolutely brilliant, and they're £25. And you buy a Kokin thing, you used to get a free voucher for the Kokin holder, and they were about £20 on their own. And then to buy the gels, they were absolutely bloody extortionate. You'd pay £25 just for a single ND3 or something like that. And this one, you get 24 of them. They're absolutely brilliant. And you can get a neutral density pack as well, which is $12.99, which is nothing but neutral density filters, and it's 12 sets of neutral density filters. So if you're into your photography and you fancy trying some coloured gel stuff, go out and have a play, because these are great. And some lovely brown, smoky ones that you used to use for landscapes and stuff. Well worth it. And it'll fit virtually anything you've got. If you've got a DSLR, you will find one that fits that. There you go.
Nice.
Right. Have I forgotten something?
Yes.
What have I forgotten?
My cool thing.
Not again.
Oh, Jesus, no. I did you.
What was my pick?
No.
Oh, shit. It was Jeff threw me off with the... No, it was Batwin threw me off with the bacon. That's what I was thinking. That was yours. Sorry. Bacon lubricant. Kelly, what's your... I didn't miss you on the story. Don't do this to me.
No, you didn't. I didn't say you did.
I'm so sorry. But Mullerback's already chastising me in the chat room. Kelly, what's your cool thing? I so much apologise. I can edit, don't worry.
No, never know.
This I think is really cool, and it's also not limited to the phone that I have. So this is from Patriot. They do memory and can't remember what the other stuff is that they do. But it's called Fuel Ion. And here's the reason that it's awesome. You're like, yeah, whatever, Kelly. It's just a phone dock, right? But that's not true. Check this out. I'm going to do it in front of the microphone. It's magnetic. So you put your phone in this little case that has just a little lip at the bottom. It's reasonably protectionary. But now it magnets onto this. This charges with a micro USB cable, and now you can charge your phone. So they also make for it a cool little battery that you can take and put on. And, like, they're not screwing around when it comes to the magnets on these. And it's pretty serious. And then the other thing is, if you want to charge them both at once, you totally can. So, you know, and because there's juice in the battery, it's totally charging. So it's a super awesome system. And the reason that I like it is because you honestly don't have to try that hard to get them together. And it works for, let me double check the page because I pulled it up to see. They also make just a cable that you can put on the back and a car kit with the little suction cup that has a pad on it that you can also hook up to. Right now, they have them for the iPhone 6, the iPhone 5 and 5S, the Samsung Galaxy S4, S5, and Note 3. And the battery works with all of them. And they have a charging pad, and they also have, like I said, just a cable. So it's a little white disc on the end, sort of like what an Apple Watch charger looks like, and you just slap it on the back. It's super awesome. I'm honestly not sure what they're going for at the moment, because it kind of depends like who you talk to and stuff. But they're magnetic and awesome, and so far it's super convenient. The other thing that I like about it is that if you decide to rotate your phone, you can have it be on the dock sideways as well, and it doesn't really care. It'll just pivot for you. It's really awesome. And it's a lot easier than having to fiddle with a cable. And if you don't mind the case, the only thing so far that I don't like about the case is that if you look at it from the side, you can see that it's lower than the bezel, lower than the screen. So if you are a person who traditionally puts your phone face down, you're not protecting the screen anymore when you do that. But so far, I never do that, so it doesn't really bother me. But that's so far is the only complaint that I have about this. It has nice cutouts for button access, and so far it's pretty awesome. I like it a lot. And the thing I like about it is that my case is not a super ginormous case. And if I do decide I need a battery for it later and I want to throw a little juice in, then I'm totally good. It's really great. So there you go.
Price?
Like I said, I'm not sure. They don't have anything listed on their site. It's from
no, they don't.
Patriot. They make memory and what have you, and it's the Fuel Ion.
Yes, okay. I've got the site up dead easy, patriotmemory.com, but yeah. It's got a where to buy tab, but it hasn't got any prices, so there we go. I do apologize, Kelly. I'm going to get emails calling me misogynist again this week. I didn't know anything. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Garrett?
You can get me on Twitter at Solium Says. You can get me on my blog at soliumsays.com, and you can find the occasional blog post at productivityist.com.
Good man, thank you. Jeffrey?
You can find me hanging out over at macobserver.com and at freshbrewtales.com, and on Twitter, I'm Jay Gamut, and I'm on a bunch of podcasts, including TMO Daily Observations, which is a fairly new show that I've started over at Mac Observer.
Kelly, where are you?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and you can find me elsewhere on this network as well as explaining stuff over at macobserver.com.
Amazon has it at $50, and the case is 38, you say.
Uh-huh. I just looked it up. Yeah. So Amazon has a wide variety of the stuff available there.
Excellent. Righty boy, where are you?
Paulum's at Twitter, BritishTechNetwork.com, and thanks to Mr. Wheatley, our Facebook page is now BritishTechNetwork.com/Facebook.
Yeah, we've got some new vanity links, so all you got to do is /Facebook/Twitter/... UK2/100TB/all the others, and you get straight through from Telestream to our two.
Very nice.
Yes, thank you. Well done. Paul's done an absolutely fantastic job on the website. It really is
awesome.
In there, going well, and he integrated the live streaming stuff that we got from UK2 really quickly as well. It's with Paul Shadwell, so thanks to both of the Balls for doing that. Superb. Mr. Ashley, where are you, sir?
You can always find me on Twitter at Big Chris Ashley. And of course, you can find me every week on my own show, the SMR Podcast. Three cats hanging out. You feel like you're one of the pals when you're listening to one of our shows. So come on and check us out. And so you can look it up at smrpodcast.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for giving of your time. Very much appreciated. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow with the Mac Show. And then we'll be back again next week with the big show as normal. I don't think we've got anything stopping us next week. It's superb. I'll be back in time from work. So there you go. See you next week. Thanks for listening.